May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday of the long season of Pentecost and the final celebration of our liturgical year. Next Sunday, we begin a new year, a new season, as we start our Advent journey toward Christmas. Today, we celebrate the kingship of Christ, and we sing hymns about royalty and power and heavenly courts. All of this right before we begin a very quiet and contemplative season's journey to Bethlehem. We talk about Jesus as King today, but soon the church and even the secular world around us will be focused on Christ as a tiny baby in a manger. Today's celebration is not one of the ancient traditions of the church. In fact, it was instituted a little less than 100 years ago in 1925 in the Roman Catholic Church by Pope Pius XI. He was concerned about the growing nationalism and secularism that he saw in the world around him, and he wanted the faithful to be reminded that Christ our Lord has been given all power in heaven and on earth, and that this power embraces all men. And this is what Pope Pius said: Christ must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and to the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should love God above all things and cleave to Him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments of justice unto God. It's particularly meaningful to me to think about today's theme in Scripture in light of our recent elections, and I'm referring to all of the various elections that have recently taken place, not just the presidential one. We've heard a lot about leadership in recent months and campaigns at the local, state, and national level. So what characterizes a great or even a good leader? If you were paying attention to recent campaigns, you might think that a good leader looks right or has the right contacts or maybe makes the most noise or maybe proves his or her worth by defaming his or her opponents. Jeremiah talks about leadership in today's Old Testament reading. He says that evil shepherds or bad leaders scatter their flocks rather than caring for them. Good shepherds keep their flocks together in safety. Jeremiah also talks about a future king who will be a righteous branch, executing justice and dealing wisely. Now, for most of our experiences, most of us really don't know a whole lot about shepherds. And other than keeping up with the royal family in Britain, most of us don't have a lot of experience with queens and kings. So what does it really mean for us when we talk about Christ as King? What example of kingly leadership do we see in Jesus? The gospel reading for today, the choice could have presented many images of Jesus as a kingly figure. Beyond his teaching and healing, we could consider Jesus feeding the 5,000, or Jesus walking on water and ruling the elements, or Jesus turning over the money changers' tables in the temple. But instead, on Christ the King Sunday, we consider Luke's account of Jesus dying on the cross. Instead of a display of kingly power, we see Jesus mocked by the religious leaders, the soldiers, even the other criminals hanging near him, while the people stand by in silence and watch. Yet even at this dark hour, and especially at this dark hour, Jesus is King. So what actions did he take? First of all, he forgives. Now, this passage is unique to Luke's gospel, but it signifies to us who Jesus is, even as he is being tormented, mocked, and derided. He forgives those around him. Secondly, even at this dark hour, he ministers to those in need. When the criminal hanging next to Jesus asked to be remembered in his kingdom, Jesus shows compassion and solidarity with his suffering. And notice that this criminal identifies Jesus' kingship and recognizes his kingdom. And finally, Jesus saves. Today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus is a new type of ruler, and he offers a new type of kingdom, a new way of living and being in relationship with others. When we look to Christ as king, we are not just replacing an earthly monarch with a heavenly one. Instead, we're becoming part of a new order, an upside-down kingdom where love rules. The King of Love, our shepherd, is. And we're called to be active participants in this kingdom of love, a kingdom that is not far off in some distant time and place, but literally here and now. By all accounts, this has been a difficult time and continues to be a difficult time in our history. Perhaps now more than ever, we need to remember that we are citizens of a larger kingdom that embraces more than just our political ideologies. As followers of Jesus, we are called today to look at the world around us with new eyes and be present with those who are suffering, be a voice for those who have no voice, and show solidarity with the poor and the marginalized. One commentary I read this week mentioned that very famous quote from Leonard Cohen, "There is a crack in everything, that's how the light gets in." We are called to look for those cracks, cracks in unjust systems and cracks in dividing walls of hostility and hatred, even cracks in all kinds of glass ceilings that sustain unfair treatment. And then we need to be the light of Christ that gets in through the cracks, light that shines on those who have been overlooked and silenced and kept in bondage, light that brings the hope of new life in Christ's kingdom. Amen.